Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to keep mining the 2026 OHSAA White Book and talk about an article in here called Are You That Other Umpire? David referenced that article last episode in relation to calling illegal pitches, but just the thought of every other time. So the name of this article comes from the idea that when you make a call or you enforce a rule or you enforce some kind of behavior, what you end up hearing inevitably is, well, the other umpire last game let us do it, or the other umpire last game didn't have a problem with how she was pitching. We're going to say, are you the one that causes these problems? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so it starts out, you know what, before it starts, I'll say this. I don't know if I should do it before or after. And by the way, if you guys can't tell, these were zero prep episodes. Pete and I have decided that we just really kind of like to say, hey, let's grab a topic here, do it on the fly. We get some feedback from folks that say, you know, we don't want it to be too scripted or anything like that. So we've taken that advice and we don't script. So sometimes things might look backwards or out of shape because, well, we didn't read ahead or whatever. So, and I haven't really on this one either, but I will say that, you know, I was doing a JUCO game last year. And again, I won't call the school out, but I was doing a JUCO game and doing bat inspections at the beginning of the game. And we've got a bat that is so loose. I'm pretty sure I could have pulled it apart if I tried, you know, with two hands. Just, you know, this two-piece bat that's rattling so bad, so loose, you can bang it on the ground to try to put it back together, and it still rattles, and it still rattles, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, this one's done, this one's leaving. Well, the umpire yesterday let it go. I'm like, coach, why would you want to throw my umpire friend under the bus like that? He didn't do his job. Or did she break it yesterday? Or did she break it in warm-ups today? Because, you know, this bat's not in the game. But it was the other umpire who let it go, right? If it really was that particular bat. So anyway, let's see what the White Book has to say about it. And we'll start with, as an umpire, you are likely to have a coach or game administrator start a conversation with that other umpire we had and proceed to explain an issue. They believe here that most of these are issues of umpires over-officiating their games. This might involve applying rules that have since been changed or no longer exist.
The MSU rulebook?
Yeah, exactly that. Focusing on smaller details while allowing key violations like illegal pitches or obstruction or interference to occur without enforcement, and an even lack of professional conduct in the communications with coaches and players. The question here is, are you that other umpire?
Yeah. So one of the big ones, and this is a thing, jewelry. So 2023, the NFHS, 3 years ago, NFHS said, all right, let's not make the jewelry a problem. But their NFHS headquarters is saying, we're receiving complaints that umpires are enforcing a rule that's no longer in the book. And then they stress that they're allowed to wear jewelry. Their rule 3213 still applies. So if there's something dangerous, like if they're wearing some kind of thing with a spike, like their necklace is actually a dagger or something, you know. But and that's where people always fall when I see this come up on some of the social media posts and they say, oh, well, you know, I deemed it to be a hazard. It's like, come on, man, the hoop earring, the small hoop, the little half inch hoop or whatever it is not a danger. The cross necklace is not going to turn into a dagger as they slide and stab the third baseman who's trying to apply the tag. None of those things are true. Like, stop over officiating that particular rule.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And Pete, you and I were actually on the field when this rule changed for USA softball as well. And it changed to this, you know, where jewelry's okay unless it's dangerous. And got into it a little bit because, you know, we've got 18-year-old softball players out here on the field, you know, getting ready to play. And then I got a base umpire running over and saying, hey, you girls got to get all them earrings out. No jewelry allowed. And it's like, no, that's changed now. And he actually brought the book back up to prove me wrong and showed where dangerous jewelry had to be removed. And I said, so you think these stud earrings that the girls are wearing are dangerous? Yes. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah, because it could touch it. Then the post could hit them right in the ear. That's a soft spot, yeah, right behind
them,
the ear.
Could get them right in there. All right. So yeah, don't over officiate. You know, the last sentence here is the most important one. Umpires wanted this rule and now we have it.
Because the last thing we wanted to do was be jewelry police.
Yes. Just do the, you know, call balls and strikes and safes and outs and, you know, concentrate on being where you need to be and getting the call right.
Yep.
All right. So here's another one. Another one of these faux pas. The conversations with players and coaches. After the occasional brief pregame greetings, These should be kept to a minimum and involve the game in progress only. There should be no engagement in conversation with players. Ball, strike, safe, out, etc. should be the only communication. Conversations with coaches should be professional. We are not there to socialize. Be polite, but remember that our between-inning positions are designed to keep us alone.
Yeah, when you're out there standing behind second base, you know, or off that line extended, third to second extended, there should be no coach anywhere near you. And when you're the home plate umpire on the first or third line extended facing a dugout, you're near some fans potentially, but you shouldn't be near these coaches and players, and you never should be talking to the fans anyway. So yeah, you're isolated intentionally. What do you have to say?
That's right.
What is there to say? I mean, sure, someone walks by and is like, it's 3 p.m. and someone's like, the coach on his way to the third base box goes, hot one today. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sit there and just make a grump face. You can be like, yeah, it's a scorcher. I mean, that's fine, but like, That's it. Like, don't sit there and talk to him about whatever else. Hey, you guys got water? You want to do this? You want to do that? You want to do this? Hey, after the game, we should go get brews. Like, no.
Yeah, no, definitely not. And maybe not even the bro hug, you know, at the beginning of the game, from the coaches that you know. So, not calling out anybody from a district championship last year or anything like that, but bro hugs with coaches, probably not a thing. And you're right, Pete, the conversation, sometimes the players will want to be chatty, a little bit friendly, and don't be rude to them, but, you know, short responses and answers and just kind of make sure that you're doing your job while you're out there. Because not only when you're in between innings, did they design your position to keep you away from people, they also designed your position to have your eyes on the field and watching what's happening. How many warm-up pitches did she throw?
Yeah. How much time has elapsed? Like, what are you paying attention to?
Yeah, you got it. All right. So what about pregame conferences, Pete?
This is not a time to put on a rules clinic. These should follow the format that is prescribed in the umpire's manual. We have an episode about this, what you should do. This is when you establish the tone of control for the game. Use it as such. You keep the meeting brief, the importance of starting the game promptly, keeping it moving. You don't need to sit there and say, you know, and remember, jewelry's okay, but this is this, and the pitcher's allowing the leap, and we can do this, and we got this rule about that. No. Here's what's happening. Discuss any ground rules that may be present for the field so that everyone's aware. Are you legally and properly equipped? Give me your lineup card. We need to get moving.
Yeah. Let's get rolling here. Yep. That was very brief, but like Pete said, there's an entire episode, and I think it was even NFHS, Pete, that we did a mock pregame. Is that right?
With the coaches
and everything? Okay, cool. All right. Next faux pas to discuss is enforcing what needs to be enforced, but don't look for trouble. Be observant in detecting rules violations without getting out your magnifying glass. When it involves player behavior, involve the head coach. Really good one there.
You talked about this a little bit last episode as you covered the replanting and the illegal pitch and stuff like that. You said if you see the illegal pitch, call it, but be sure that you saw it, right?
Yeah.
Don't sit there and just invent something that maybe I saw. I'm not entirely sure if she did that. And you call it anyway, so don't go looking for trouble, as it said.
That's right. Yeah, there's plenty of trouble out there to be found.
Yeah.
Don't go looking for it. The next one's a short one. Focus on the big picture. Right? Hone your rules, knowledge, and judgment to make the big calls, such as obstruction, interference, and malicious contact. I like this one, but I also want you to go a little bit further if you can. Right. So if you're a new umpire, this is your first season, second season, third season, man. Yes, definitely. You got to get these big calls, obstruction, interference, and malicious contact. Hopefully you don't see much malicious contact. We're talking about high school here.
Yeah, this isn't the California Penal League, Vaughn.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I've actually, in my entire umpiring career, thank goodness I've not. I'm going to knock on wood. You'll probably hear it on my microphone. But I want to knock. I've not had to call malicious contact ever. I really don't want to. I will if I see it. But I just hope I don't ever see it. But so if you're a newer umpire, really concentrate on getting these big calls right: obstruction, interference, and malicious contact. If you've been around a while, spend a little bit of time getting in a rule book. You know, listen to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball podcast, especially the NFHS episodes. Familiarize yourself with all of the rules. I'll tell you, it's very helpful when you're able to make a call for fairness. I want to shout out to Mike on that one. Mike says, if you don't know the rules for sure, think about what you think is fair, and most likely the rule was written to make it fair. So they're all out there, and they're all out there to make this game fair for the players that are playing it. So please, get into the book and learn more rules and then be able to find those and make those calls. All right, Pete, we got another one?
Yep. So avoid interrupting the flow of the game. This one's kind of important. You think about like the scenario they give is in the middle of a three ball, two strike pitcher battle, batter pitcher battle. Do you need to stop the game to position a coach in the coaching box or move someone away from the bench from the opening of the field? Sometimes you need to stop play to make a correction, but be judicious as to when. You know, if that person's been standing there for a second and it's 3-2 and it's a big moment, and everything else, you don't need to move the coach a little bit because they're 1 foot too close to the field, whatever. Now's not the time. You know, don't make yourself the center of attention here in this moment that is already pregnant with drama, you know?
Yeah. Also goes to kind of that nitpicking stuff too. It's like, you know, pick your battles, right? Okay, so it's 5 miles away. We should be safe. Of course, this refers to lightning or thunder in the area. Whether it's 5 or 50 miles is immaterial. Our rule book and the OHSAA directive for Ohio umpires requires us to halt the game immediately at the first sign of lightning in the area or clap of thunder and remain paused for 30 minutes until it's passed from the last strike or the last clap of thunder. So the portion of the rule covering lightning in the distance and seen on the horizon was designed for games played after dark. It's 5 or 50 miles is immaterial. That's the most important thing. First sign of lightning or clap of thunder, stop.
Yep.
Get the girls off the field, get the players off the field, and they are not allowed back until 30 minutes has passed since the last strike of lightning seen or clap of thunder heard.
There you go. Next, have a great understanding of Rule 3.3-6. These are rules pertaining to the various conduct violations and have varying penalties, warnings, restrictions, ejections. Apply the proper penalty to the violation. If you're not sure, consult the rule book. Yeah, you might feel like that's not cool or whatever to do it, but some of these things are a little bit rare and maybe you don't know, but you want to make sure you apply the right penalty. Consult the rule book. And it notes that at least one umpire should have a rule book on the field. Mine's in my bag. I put every year, one of the things I do, I end up with multiple. I don't know where I get multiple copies. I might steal some. If yours ever shows up missing, I probably took it. And I keep one in my bag. And then it's going around. I don't sit there and get it all the time. I don't have to get it out. I didn't get it out at all, you know, the last season. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't there. You know what? You know why I didn't have to get it out? Because I had it. You know, if I didn't have it, I wouldn't need it.
You were prepared.
Yep.
Yep, you were prepared. You were such a Boy Scout about that. And remember, there's no protests, folks. So the rules have to be applied on the field without question. So you have to have that rule book with you. Same thing true also, guys, this year, NCAA, guys and gals, NCAA, no protests going forward. You have to figure it out on the field. Okay, and last thing here, this last faux pas that would make you the other umpire is not using proper mechanics. So please make sure your signals are sharp. Participants and spectators appreciate this from the umpires. So proper signals and mechanics show that umpires know the rule and are sure of their judgment. Use proper signals and sell the close calls using strong signals. And avoid selling the routine plays such as foul balls in the parking lot or over the backstop, routine catches of pop-ups and fly balls, or runner reaching the base safely when the fielder doesn't even catch the ball, or even if there's no throw to the base. It's like, you know, act like you've been here before. I think it was Woody Hayes was making fun of some of his players dancing in the end zone. You know, act like you've made a touchdown in your life in the past. You know, let's be a little more couth here. That's kind of what this is too, right? You don't ring up the young lady who swung on pitch three and, you know, so great grandma hears a verbal out in the outfield or anything like that, right? So love this stuff. Yeah, don't be that other umpire.
And then there is one little caution and a call out here, and I think it's important to just touch on quickly. Caution about social media. Keep in mind that your social media is involved. And so, yeah, we all know like, oh, don't go out there and post this and post that and people may look you up and find it. The important one they address here that I want to call out for this episode is it's inappropriate for you to connect with students on social media. This doesn't include people that are part of your family. You've got a niece that plays in the district or something. It's not that, but, and don't sit there and like friend the pitcher, the star pitcher for the local high school, and don't pose. It says it's not appropriate to pose for photos with student athletes that end up with captions like, here's our favorite umpire. This has long-range detriments to your reputation for fairness. I've seen those. I've seen plenty of those. This is our favorite umpire posts and stuff like that. And it's not a good idea.
Yep. The umpires out there dancing with the girls at on the rain delays and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are professionals. We need to act like professionals out there. So great episode. Don't be that other umpire. A little bit of a smile. Some of it sounded, you know, like we might be atting people. Sorry if you took anything that way. But we really just kind of, we Pete and I care very much about the reputation of umpires in the sport and how we are seen and viewed by the public. And so sometimes if it sounds like we're up on a soapbox, it could just be that. You know, we're passionate about the fact that we care about our profession and we really want it seen in the best light by others out there. So anyway, hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, and we're here to learn. So if you do some of these things, right. The point of listening, I would hope, is that I hope you don't listen to these and we just tell you what you hear all the time, or, you know, the idea is that it's nice to be reminded sometimes, or you learn a thing or two. And so if any of these things are something you do, you just take this as an occasion to maybe not do it in the future.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I think that gets it. So that does. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep. Until next time.